You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Dan Roebuck and Richard Boxall.
Welcome to the European Tour Race to Dubai show as America's Jordan Spieth makes it two majors from two with a one-shot victory in the US Open.
I'm still in shock. It's cliche to say, but I've never experienced a feeling like this. To have two in 1 year and to still be early in the year, that's hard to wrap my head around.
Louis Oosthuizen and Dustin Johnson finished a shot back on four under par, with Johnson three putting on the final green to hand a sympathetic Spieth the title.
It's not easy to get any putt down in two here. I three putted 9 or 10 times this week. I very much feel for him. He's a great champion.
So we've a full review to come of events at Chambers Bay, and we'll also preview the next event on the European Tour, the BMW International Open in Munich. Hello and a very warm welcome to the show from me, Dan Roebuck, and also Richard Boxall. Boxy, how are you doing?
Not bad. Stayed up nice and late last night, I have to say, to watch the US Open, and thoroughly enjoyed it.
What an extraordinary finish, Boxy.
Well, it was amazing, wasn't it? That's the highs and lows of golf, though, isn't it? Literally on one green there. I mean, he's got an eagle putt to win the US Open. Then you've got the dreaded 4.5 feet, I suppose, back uphill right to left for the playoff. And then all of a sudden, that doesn't come off with anything. It was a shame. I mean, a real shame.
Dustin Johnson beaten by Jordan Spieth on a dramatic last hole. Also joining us is American commentator and friend of the Race to Dubai show, Matt Adams, who joins us live from the US. Welcome, Matt. Thanks for getting up so early, but it was well worth staying up for from an English, UK point of view, European point of view to watch the US Open last night.
Yeah, I thought it was a great US Open. You know, for as much as the golf course was maligned throughout the course of the week, when it came right down to it, it came down to the competitors and what they could do or couldn't do at the flash point when they had to get it done. And Jordan Spieth was able to get it done, and Dustin Johnson was. I just thought it was a very compelling major championship.
Dustin Johnson must have thought, Matt, though, that he'd broken his major hoodoo after missing out at Pebble Beach, after missing out at Whistling Straits. Surely, when you've got that eagle putt, even prior to that, and even when you've got that birdie putt to make the playoffs, surely he believed that he was going to get the job done.
Yeah, but he had control of the tournament early in the day as well, and then he had a couple of bogeys as he was making his way home. And I cannot tell you that what Dustin Johnson did was a great shock to me, because we have seen in the aforementioned examples, Dan, that you just laid out for us, that he has this tendency at the moment that he has victory within his clutches to let it go. I felt bad for him, but it didn't greatly shock me that it took place, because it seems to be a recurring cycle.
Jordan Spieth managed to win, but Boxy, at one stage when he doubles the 17, you think he's thrown it away.
It looked very much like that, didn't it? But, you know, if just go back to Johnson very quickly, if he had holed some putts, he didn't really hole a great deal of putts, and the nerves come into it as well. I mean, it's, you know, it's the excitement of, I've got this, I suppose it was 18 foot downhill left to right putt for victory, you know, and the greens are like lightning. Then all of a sudden, you're mentally, you've got to change. You go this to win and all the excitement of it, and then Now a bit different sort of set of nerves come in, this for the playoff now. He must have gone from right up here to right down there in 2 minutes. Horrendous finish, really.
Matt, it could have been different for Spieth with that double bogey on 17. What must he have been thinking on that particular hole?
Well, he told us afterwards that all he was thinking down the stretch was get into a playoff. Even after he won, he still couldn't put it into words. He couldn't find the words to explain what he was feeling, what happened, because he himself could not believe it. So that double bogey deeply, deeply affected him and his mindset. I thought his approach shot to 18 was absolutely brilliant as well. As brilliant as Dustin Johnson's was, and clearly it was, what Jordan Spieth did on the heels of a double bogey to come back and hit that shot, because as Boxy's just alluding to, when DJ missed the eagle putt at 18, you could see in his face just complete and utter panic. But when Jordan made double bogey and he really brought the world back into the tournament again, he then went on to hit that approach shot at 18 that was absolutely world class. This is really a special kid.
You know, I almost felt like with Dustin Johnson's putt that he gave it a go, and my goodness, understandably so, but you felt like he really should have tried to creep it in the front door just to make sure that if it didn't go in, which is a fair chance it wouldn't go in from that distance, that he was going to just tap it in. Didn't want to leave himself for anything to do for the playoff, or to get in the playoff, rather.
Well, it was, of course, Jordan Spieth that took home the trophy, and we can hear from the winner after claiming his second major in a row.
I'm still in shock. It's cliche to say, but I've never experienced a feeling like this. I thought that I had won it on 16. I thought that I had, didn't think I had lost it after 17, but I thought that I needed to play 18 well just to play tomorrow. And then after DJ hit his second shot in, I thought, shoot, I may have lost this tournament. Just utter shock at the finish. It's not easy to get any putt down in two here. I three putted 9 or 10 times this week. I very much feel for him. He's a great champion. I felt a lot of pressure today. As much as I felt at Augusta in April, I knew that this would be the second leg and that it would be two majors in a row. And I think that that added to a little bit of the pressure. It's incredible. It really is. It's incredible to win a major championship and you only get a few moments in your life like this. And I recognize that to have two in 1 year and to still be early in the year, that's hard to wrap my head around.
Are we suggesting here, Boxy, that the difference between Spieth and Dustin Johnson at the moment is between the ears and not anything else?
I would say so, yeah. I think Johnson plays great. I think Spieth plays great. I think McIlroy plays quite well as well, to be quite honest. I think it is, yeah. I think it's, you know, whatever ails or bothers you, it's not the thing itself. It's the importance you attach to it. And you have the power to change that at any given time. Bit deep, I know that, Matt, but, you know, that is actually fact.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you, Boxy. I think we've seen time and again with Dustin Johnson that on the world golf stage, he could well be the most naturally gifted golfer in the world. His height, his arc, his power, everything that he possesses from a physical standpoint would give him an edge, seemingly. And I think that's why he contends in majors and has contended a number of times. But I believe it's the 6-inch fairway between his ears that ultimately betrays him in those moments when he has to get it done. And I don't know what it is. I know, Boxy, you've seen it over the years from many great champions or many great golfers that just are unable to grab the brass ring at the highest level. And from what we've seen from Dustin so far, it's a recurring pattern.
Matt, Jordan Spieth praised his caddy, Michael Grella, over the course of the week. He said that he pumped him with positivity all week at Chambers Bay. How important was that, do you think?
I think that was critically important, but I think that was just an element of what he provides to Jordan Spieth. The fact that Mike was also a caddy on that golf course, you know, he got married on that golf course as well. The ceremony was held on the property. So he really knew the land, and I was curious when the week started how much impact that would really have. But now when it's all said and done and we're looking back on it, you have to reflect that it probably had even more than we initially anticipated.
Well, yeah, I think you're probably right that he probably nearly got divorced on the 17th or whatever when a double bogey came in. Caddies, they've got to be able to say the right thing at the right time. That's the secret with a caddy. And this Michael Grella obviously did that with him, no question.
Let's hear a bit more from Jordan Spieth. Is he now thinking about the so-called Grand Slam?
I'm just focused on the claret jug now. I think that the Grand Slam is something that I never could really fathom somebody ever doing. I watched Tiger, he won the Tiger Slam, but he never won the four in 1 year. We'll just use that secret formula and see if we can maybe have on weeks these next 2 weeks, the 2 weeks that the majors are held. This was a somewhat of a British-style golf course, so are the next two majors. I've proven to myself that I can win on a British-style golf course now. Now I take it to the truest British-style golf course of any in the world, and I'm just excited for the opportunity coming then, and I'm not going to think about what could possibly happen after. There's certainly things that I can improve on from this week. I can strike the ball better than I did this week. I can get more positive. I can improve in all aspects of my game. I believe that. It's just about now looking to St. Andrews and how are we going to best prepare for it, and how are we going to just fine-tune. It's just fine-tuning. It's nothing major. It's just fine-tuning, and there's always a way to get better.
Boxy,
yes.
You cannot rule him out of the Grand Slam, can you?
No, I mean, he probably won't do it.
Can't rule him out completely.
No, I think wouldn't it be great if he won the Open Championship and then that nice little, you know, monthly build-up to the USPGA? Yeah, no, he could do it, but, you know, it's more than likely he won't.
Matt, can he do it?
Yeah, you know, if we started the year by saying, could Jordan Spieth win the Masters and win the US Open, all three of us would have reacted the exact same way that Boxy just did right now. Would have shrugged our shoulders and said, he's as capable as anybody else, but it's unlikely. Well, the unlikely has happened by 50%. He's won the first two majors of the year. And here's the thing that's remarkable about it. When Rory won two majors last year, we all looked at each other and we all would have agreed Rory is the greatest player in the world. When he is on song, his ability to strike the driver and split fairways and find greens and make putts is unparalleled. He's the best golfer in the world. Is there anybody right now that's calling Jordan Spieth the best golfer in the world? Rather, what they're saying is he has this ability to go out and win. Seriously, Boxy, do you think that Jordan Spieth right now is the best golfer in the world? Yes or no?
Yes, I'd say he is right now.
I don't think he's the best golfer in the world. That's what I think is remarkable about it.
He's not number one in the world rankings, but, I mean, as he's playing at the moment, for the last month, let's say, or the last 3 months, let's say. I mean, Rory's played well, but, you know, he's also thrown in a couple of missed cuts at over here in Europe. So the way he's hitting the ball, the way he's playing, he would have to be number one.
Yeah, it's just I've never seen a time where a player could win two major championships in a year and it's not absolutely universal by any measure, by every measure, by any opinion, by any emotion, that he is the best player in the world. And I'm telling you, you would get a debate in many quarters on that even still, even now. Here's another thing that's incredibly remarkable. We have seen two consecutive years where one man has won at least two major championships. That in and of itself is incredible history. We're in a remarkable stretch of golf right now. You know, so much focus is put upon the veterans. What happens with Lee Westwood? Will he win a major? What happens with Tiger Woods? Will he come back? What happens with Phil Mickelson? Will he be on song in any particular week? And can he win again? Yet, if you look at the game right now, the future is now. The game is in great, great hands with these young players, and they're doing remarkable things.
Well, speaking of the history books, Spieth becomes the youngest US Open champion since Bobby Jones in 1923. He's only the sixth player to win the Masters tournaments and the US Open championship in the same season. The others, Craig Wood, Ben Hogan, who did it twice, Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus, and of course Tiger Woods. He's the youngest player to collect consecutive majors since Gene Sarazen in 1922, and youngest ever to win the Masters and US Open. His position after each major round this season: first, 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 seventh, first, first, and first again. Extraordinary figures. Matt, many thanks for popping on the Race to Dubai show. Always enjoy your comments, and we will speak again soon.
Thanks, gents. Bye now.
Well, tied second alongside Dustin Johnson was Louis Oosthuizen. After recovering from three bogeys in the first four holes, with six birdies in his last seven and closing for a 67.
You sort of forget how you play when you get in that situation of having a chance of winning a major. And last time I felt that was, you know, in 2012 at Augusta. And it was nice being in that spot again. I felt very relaxed. I felt eager to get to the next hole and try and get some birdies going. I wasn't nervous at all. So, you know, I'll take a lot out of this week, especially the last 3 days the way I played. I could have easily today shoot, you know, a big number again after that start. But I just tried to have a good week.
Louis left ruing that opening day 77 boxing.
Yeah, no, it was a bad, wasn't it? First day was not good, 77. There was a few I quite fancied to do well on that final day, and he certainly was one of them. Won a major back in 2010, and, you know, once you've done that, you can go on and do it again. Interesting to hear he wasn't nervous, though.
Tied fourth on 3 under par was another South African, Brandon Grace, who shared the lead going into the final round but couldn't claim a third European Tour win this season.
Just knowing that, you know, I've been in this position now, I've handled myself well, I've played some great golf under the pressure, and knowing that I can take that into the next big ones coming. You know, there's another big one coming up, the British, which is pretty similar, also up early, and, you know, hopefully I can contend there and learn a little bit from this week.
We've not seen Brandon up in the vanguard, so to speak, in majors before. He acquitted himself really well.
He did. He played very well. A good putter under pressure. Very good putter.
Brandon Grace, of course, shared fourth place with the Australian pair Adam Scott and Cameron Smith. Scott with a last day 64. Rory McIlroy, meanwhile, also went on a final round charge, holing six birdies in his opening 13 holes, including an incredible 72-foot putt. The world number one went from 4 over to 2 under at one point before finishing on level par.
You know, got off to a good start. I, you know, hit some good shots early on, made some nice putts, and, you know, just got a little bit of momentum going there. And I really thought that when I held up, you know, long putt on 13, you know, I had 16 and 18 coming in. If I could post 4 under par, birdie those two holes coming in, then I thought I had a great chance. Really, really did, especially with the way the greens are getting out there. They're getting baked, and, you know, it's going to be hard to hit it close and hard to hold putts. So, you know, at least it would have been a number for guys to really think about. But, you know, felt like I had a good shot on 15, and it just came up short. And then 16 and 17 killed me as well. So the last few holes of this golf course haven't been kind to me all week. And, you know, when I look back at this tournament, that's where I'll rue some missed opportunities, and I feel like it's sort of one that got away, especially how I putted this week. I mean, because my ball, I don't think I've ever hit the ball as well in a major championship. You know, I've got a couple of weeks to work on my putting and get that up to the shape that it has been in, and especially the way it was last year. And if I can do that and keep the long game where it is, you know, I'm really excited about what can happen over the summer.
Missed a short one on 14 on Sunday, Rory. If that had gone in boxy, it could have been different.
No, I think it would have been very different. He mentioned his putting there. He certainly hit the ball well, but he was a little bit like Johnson, didn't hold any putts on the final day. In fact, Rory didn't hold
putts all week, did he?
Not really. If he holds putts, he wins by about 6 or 7. You know, it's as simple as that with McIlroy, because I don't know whether you've noticed, but he can play quite well.
Every other aspect of his game seems massively on at the moment, doesn't it?
Oh, no, it's all good. It's just if you hold the putts, it's a little bit like Westwood in his heyday. If Westwood putts really well, Westwood wins by 8. You know, and Rory McIlroy is much the same. If he putts well, he cruises the tournament and really cruises the tournament.
Well, Rory McIlroy finished tied 9th and shared the honour of being the highest European player with Ireland's Shane Lowry.
I just didn't do enough. Hold a few more putts, it would have been, you know, would have had a right chance coming down the last few. I was thinking if I could get to 3. I think I was thinking if I could birdie 17 and 18 when I was playing them. But I suppose it's a good week for me. I'm probably back inside the top 15 in the world. A few goals have been reached. So, you know, I thoroughly enjoyed my week, to be honest. Love the golf course, tends to suit me quite a lot. Yeah, I'm pretty pleased. You know, when you walk away from a major championship and you feel like you played the golf to win, you know, you have to be happy with yourself.
He did seem to be enjoying himself out there on the last day, and he was making opportunities, just couldn't find the cup with that regularity you need down the stretch.
No, you know, I thought he did, finished level par for the tournament, shot 71 yesterday. That was a good score. You know, in the group he was going out, I think he was 4th last group going out. I mean, I listened to his interview and he said, yes, I am nervous. I am nervous before I go out, and I don't blame him either. I thought he held his chin up high. I thought he did well, 71 last round.
Speaking of feelings, emotions, if you like,
yeah.
Jason Day, his week at Chambers Bay could have been better, suffered from vertigo.
Thomas LeVay had it, you know. I was spoken to Thomas once. This was a while
ago. It's just an imbalance, isn't it?
Yeah, well, Thomas LeVay was driving his car in America, swung his head round, and then everything started swimming. He said it was terrible. He said he could hardly get out of the car.
Well, Jason Day did finish in a tie for 9th. Let's get the complete top 10.
In tied 9th, Jason Day, Shane Lowry and Rory McIlroy. 8th on his own branch, Snedeker. And then at 2 under par, Charles Schwartzel. And then there was a tie for 4th at -3. Adam Scott, Cameron Smith and Brandon Grace. Tied 2nd, Dustin Johnson, Louis Oosterhuizen and Jordan Spieth. Top of the pile at -5 for 2 majors under his belt.
So that was the top 10. Tiger Woods missed the cut after rounds of 80 and 76. Of the likes of Martin Kaymer, Graham McDowell, Ricky Fowler and Bubba Watson all missed the cut. Still no US Open joy for Phil Mickelson, despite a decent start on day one. Let's move on to the top 10 Race to Dubai standings. Boxy.
Okie dokie. Okay, in 10th spot, you've got Alexander Noren, recent winner. Miguel Angel Jimenez flying the flag for the over 50s. 8th position, Jaidi. Bernd Wiesberger is 7th. 6th is Justin Rose. Bjorn Hung An, or Arn, whichever way you want to pronounce it, he's in 5th, winner of the BMW PGA at Wentworth. In 4th was Brandon Grace. Louis Oosthuizen is in 3rd. And Danny Willett, after his good win down at Sun City, still hanging on to 2nd spot, but leading the way, surprise, surprise, Rory McIlroy.
Last week's Fantasy Race to Dubai tips, Mr. Robert Lee Esquire went for Alex Noren, who missed the cut, and Jim Furyk, who finished 7 over and a tie for 42nd. Nick Doherty went for Justin Rose, 5 over, tie for 27th, and also Jordan Spieth. So Mr. Doherty managed to pick the winner, Boxy.
Got lucky there, didn't he? Mind you, you've picked some winners, haven't you?
We've all picked winners.
We've all picked winners. Yeah.
Bob Boker, who was the third wheel last week, went for Rory McIlroy, who we know tied 9th, and also Jim Furyk, who was 7 over, as we've mentioned. In last week's Fantasy Race to Dubai game, Aidan Moy's team, how can a man work for that, won almost 3 million points to easily top the weekly rankings. The team was captained by US Open runner-up Louis Oosthuizen and also featured other top 10 finishers Brandon Grace, Charles Schwartzel, Rory McIlroy and Shane Lowry. As for the overall Fantasy Race to Dubai, it's Cookin's team, Roscoe's, that leads the way with over 19 million points. To pick your fantasy team, visit europeantour.com/ my European tour. Let's go to the world rankings, shall we? We need the top 10 after the second major of the year. Boxy.
10th spot, Ricky Fowler, who missed the cut this week. Sergio Garcia is 9th. Jason Day is 8th. Henrik Stenson, 7th. Jim Furyk is 6th. 5th is Bubba Watson. 4th, Justin Rose. 3rd is Dustin Johnson. 2nd, Jordan Spieth. And Rory McIlroy is still at number 1.
And in other news, on the European Challenge Tour, there was a win in France for Frenchman Sébastien Groh at the Nergetti Open presented by Neuflize OBC. He cruised to a 6-shot victory in Saint-Omer. So let's now focus on this week's European Tour event, the BMW International Open at Golf Club München Eikenried. Paraguay's Fabrizio Zanotti is the defending champion. Boxy, you're heading to Germany. What can we expect for this event?
You can expect low scoring. They have changed the course a bit as it goes on. I always thought the par threes were quite difficult around there, but they always seem to score very low. It's a course that I played, I could never get low. I don't know why, I just couldn't get under par on it. It's an incredibly flat course. There's hardly a hill on it. And it's normally the weather, Dan, is very hot.
Decent field.
Yeah, very good field, I think. You got, you know, Darren Clark, Henrik Stenson, Martin Keimer, Carlsen, Matteo Manassero, you would say would be one to look at to win, but he's outside the top 130, I think, on the Race of Dubai now. So he's struggling a little bit. But I think the players that, you know, the likes of Keimer and Stenson coming back from America, it's going to be quite hard to, you know, with the jet lag, it'll be quite hard to settle in again, I would have thought.
And last week's studio guest, Nick Doughty, is also in the field. He's a former winner, of course.
He is. Yeah, he's doing quite a lot of media work now, Nick. I think he's probably decided... he did say he was going to play a few, didn't he?
Well, he's playing this week.
I know, yeah.
He could win this week. It could turn around for him.
Well, yes, that's going to be quite hard to do, but it would certainly turn things around if he did manage to steal a victory over an Eikenried.
We need selections. We need a tip from you, Boxy. Who are you going to go for?
I am going to go for Joost Luiten. 75 he shot yesterday. Mm. Finished 39th, finished 6 over. So up until then, plus 1 going to the final round, he was there or thereabouts. And Joost Luiten, 3 wins, I think he's had. You're the stat man, but I think he's had 3 wins on the European Tour. He's had a bit of a quiet year so far for him, and I think it's about time he got going. And he showed a bit of form last week.
OK, a Dutchman for you.
Yes, you.
I'm going to go for a Dane, Søren Kjeldsen, who, of course, won the Irish Open.
Yeah.
And nearly followed up at the Nordea Masters, was second, of course, in Sweden. So I'm going for another good performance from Kjeldsen. And who's got a bit of form that I can read over the years.
He has, but do you not think first and then second? Do you not think mentally he's going to get a bit tired?
I think the fact that he didn't play in the US Open is a significant tick in the right box.
Yes.
He's up against lots
okay.
of players who played in the US Open. I think he's in terrific form, and I'm quite happy to tip him up this week, Boxy.
OK, well, that's fine. All will be revealed.
Well, that is just about it from us for now. We will be back next week to reflect on the BMW International Open and preview the Alstom Open de France. Until then, you can stay up to date with all the latest news from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. But for now, from Richard Boxall and myself, Dan Roebuck, have a great week. We'll see you next time.